Hello. Welcome to our verse-by-verse in-depth Bible study with Bible teacher Dr. Bob Utley. Now, here's Bob.
I usually like to go to a text and preach on a text, but as you know, there are no texts in the New Testament about denominations. For that is a historical development. There was only one flavor in Jesus' day, and there wasn't even a church in every town. There was just ones in the major cities. And it developed. There was churches in every town. And then since the Reformation, there have been numerous kinds of churches. So I would like to talk to you about that. And the title that I've given to this is Baptist Presuppositional Heritage. You know, I really think we need to realize that who we are and what we are come from presuppositions. We assume certain things to be true. We band together on the basis of certain common beliefs. And I have had a very interesting time in studying our historical roots and those common beliefs that have bound us together. And I think maybe it's been a while since you've thought clearly about which of those beliefs that you hold are common. And I would like to do that. I think the easiest way to do that is to ask two questions for you to think about. And I'm really not going to answer them, but maybe to kind of put some pegs for our thinking. Number one, why are you a Baptist? Now just think about that. Why are you? I'm afraid the vast, vast majority of us were born to Baptist parents, and we haven't thought a whole lot about it since then. Why are you a Baptist? Number two, what are Baptist distinctives? That's a good question. What are Baptist distinctives? I think those two questions are extremely important, especially when I see the purpose of all that we've gone through recently. Is not a difference of opinion as to aim or purpose of the church. I think that all of us want to reach as many people for Jesus Christ, to help as many people as we can be mature in their faith along biblical guidelines. And I think all of us would say those are the goals to which we're reaching. More people for Christ, more mature, able to articulate their faith from the Bible, more people serving the Lord in a particular area of gifts and ministry. Now, the problem is we've had a difference of opinion on how we do that. We must be careful in what we project to the world. For this reason, I don't think any of us believe that Baptist is the only way. None of us believe that. The question is over, what do we project to the world? I think denominations have a historical part of our lives, whether we like it or not. There's nothing we can do about it. We are in a world in which Christendom is splintered. And there are many, many flavors of Christians. It would be unfortunate, in my opinion, to be more proud of being a Baptist than being a Christian. I am primarily a Bible-believing Christian who happens to be a Baptist. And I wouldn't switch that around. Now, I think that we need to think about that, what that means for our lives, for our church, the way we view others. So let me quickly move, it's not going to be a long message, to the historical distinctives as I have studied them and as I understand them, and that I can affirm with every fiber of my particular belief. These are my presuppositions. And maybe you haven't thought in a while exactly what Baptist distinctives are. I think all too often we think the abundance of things we don't do, but that's really not it at all. Number one, Baptists are part and parcel of the Reformation spirit that in the 1600s wanted a return to the Bible. And by that we think that there is one source of authority, and that is the biblical revelation. The Roman Catholic Church and many others believe that tradition and authority are on a par with each other. We have affirmed that tradition is neutral, that the only authority to which we'll commit our lives and hearts is the Bible, and especially the New Testament. Therefore, we have not made any creeds historically. We have not sat down and tried to affirm what we believe. We allow for a wide divergence of opinion among a unity of fellowship and purpose. I like that. I think that's very important. When we came back to the Bible only meant that we simplified tremendously doctrine and practice. There was an elaborate ritual that had developed around the church. Baptists believe in a very simple worship service and very simple doctrines. Our building is not very ornate, really. If you looked at it, it's just white walls. It's not extremely glittery. It doesn't have a lot of gold and silver. The center of our worship service is a pulpit. We believe the proclamation of the Word is central in who we are. And there, that hits our first presupposition, the Bible and the Bible only. Number two, we believe in the need for and encourage participation in an experiential relationship with Jesus Christ that we think needs to be publicly expressed. We think that men need to come in a confrontation experience through faith with the person of Jesus Christ. A wider term for this is evangelicalism. But we believe that each one must decide for themselves when they're old enough to understand what's going on, their personal faith and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that faith and commitment needs to be a public witness followed by a lifestyle commitment. I think that's very important. Number three, we have reacted to ecclesiastical power structures. We reject the split between clergy and laity. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, that every individual has sole competence to approach God through Christ by themselves, that it is possible to meet Jesus Christ and never even see a church, much less belong to one. It is possible to truly be redeemed outside any set structure. The priesthood of the believer says we believe in one mediator, Jesus Christ. Second, we have reacted against the division between clergy and laity. Okay? We believe that churches are independent and autonomous. We voluntarily cooperate, but we are autonomous. No one tells a local Baptist church what to do. They decide on democratic processes what they will do. Now, what is the practical implication of those three distinctives? And there's only three of them there, but there's a whole lot more. They're kind of tied together. I want to give you quickly what I see the practical expression of those three distinctives. The Bible only, okay? Need for a personal acceptance of Christ and publicly. And then we do not believe in a rigid ecclesiastical power structure, but that every man is competent before God. How does that work out? Number one, it works out in that and I got these two mixed up, you have to forgive me. We don't have any creeds. What your pastor believes does not determine what Baptists believe. What Criswell believes, being the pastor of the biggest Baptist church, is not what Baptists believe. It is very difficult to say what Baptists believe because each one of us, we feel is competent from the Bible to articulate what we believe. And therefore, we don't have any creeds. We've never have been willing to let one man or group of men or particular age determine what we believe. We believe the Bible, the New Testament. Now, number two, we have no mandatory forms or ritual for salvation. Have you thought about that? We don't say that a man has to be a member of a church to be saved. We don't say a man has to be baptized to be saved. We don't say he has to take the Lord's Supper. He doesn't have to agree to certain theological doctrines or tenets. We believe that salvation is a personal matter between Jesus Christ, God, and an individual soul. So there are no rituals or requirements for salvation. Number three, we believe in a believer's profession of faith publicly. We think everybody ought to realize that they have to make a decision, that you cannot grow into Christianity, that you cannot be born into a Christian country, that you cannot by osmosis somehow be a Christian. We believe it's very possible to know a lot about the facts of Jesus, to know a lot about the Bible, to know many religious words, and still not be a believer. We believe it's very important for a person to make an individual decision to accept who Christ is, to receive his gift of death and salvation, and to internalize that and begin to live that among his peers in his world. Number four, we have no developed theological guidelines required for salvation, church membership, or leadership. It it ever surprised you in Baptist life that a man who has never had any education at all, never even been to grammar school, can surrender to preach, and if a church calls him to be pastor of any size church in the world, that man can be pastor, and there are no educational qualifications for a pastor. He can have 15 PhDs, or he can have not even out of grammar school and be the pastor of a Baptist church. Have you ever thought about that? We have no guidelines for leadership. Also, we have no real guidelines for church membership, really. We have some, but I'm talking about overall. We don't say you got to sit down and take this theological test or this kind of thing. Okay? Number five. We have no double standards between clergy and laity. Now, I hope we don't. I think practically sometimes we do. We think, the preacher is doing that? Let me affirm to you, one of the Baptist distinctives is that I have no special power. There is nothing inherent in me that you don't have inherent in you. I have a particular spiritual gift that I function in. You have a particular spiritual gift that you function in. And that if it's wrong for me as the pastor of a Baptist church, it's wrong for you as a professing Christian. There are no double standards. We all live in a fishbowl. We all have moral guidelines that the Bible puts on our life. And there are no double standards. There are no special powers to Baptist leadership at all. None. Number six, we believe a local church is a true democracy. Now, what does that mean? We don't believe the United States is not really a true democracy. It's a representative republic. We elect people to vote for us. Now, that is not how we do it here. We don't elect people to vote for us. The authority in a Baptist polity is the congregation. And everybody who's accepted Jesus Christ, be they 6 or 60, has one vote in deciding Baptist matters. Did you know that? Nobody has special powers. Now, you and I both know that many people, because of their lifestyle, because of their ministry, because of their love, because of their continuance to the church, have influence, and that's great. And I think that's important. And we need to look up to those in places of leadership and responsibility who have been faithful through the years at a church. And that's good. But again, they only have one vote. You have one vote. I have one vote. That's Baptist polity. And what we decide is what happens. The majority decides. Okay? Number seven. We believe that all bodies, societies, and churches are autonomous. We couldn't tell another Baptist church what to do if our life depended on it. And no Baptist body can tell any other Baptist church or Baptist entity what they should do or ought to do. Now, isn't it amazing with that kind of loose theology about autonomous bodies that Baptists have such a marvelous system of intercooperation? I think it's tremendous. Now, with that in mind, I want to close. And I want to close with two passages of Scripture and one quote from a book. And I have really enjoyed reading this book this week. I hope you, if you haven't heard of this, you might think of this. It's called A Baptist Treasury. And it is a series of sermons from Baptist leaders in the past. People like Whalen, the guy whose Whalen College is named after, Broadus, Taylor, Spurgeon, Truett, Carver, you know. And I want to quote a little bit from Walter Rauschenbusch. You may know him. He is a Baptist man who worked in the slums during the Depression, helped German immigrants to survive. And I read his sermon, and I liked it very much. It's called Why I'm a Baptist. And he gives 4 reasons, and you may want to look at a book like this. And this is his postlude. It's on page 183 of A Baptist Treasury, and I want to read it to you, and then I want to read 2 passages of Scripture, make 2 comments, and then I want to close. Sometimes, while writing these articles, I felt in doubt whether I was doing good or harm. I should do harm if I gave Baptists the impressions that we are the people and there are no others. We are not a perfect denomination. We are capable of being just as narrow and small as anybody. There are fine qualities in which other denominations surpass us. We do not want to foster Baptist self-conceit, because thereby we would grieve the Spirit of Christ. I do not want to make Baptists shut themselves up in a little clamshell and be indifferent to the ocean outside of them. I am a Baptist, but I am more than a Baptist. All things are mine, whether Francis of Assisi, Knox, or Wesley. All are mine because I am Christ. The old Adam is a strict denominationalist. The new Adam is just a Christian. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us a grace was given according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And so, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Someone once told me when I first came to Lubbock, they said, Bob, if you stay here long enough, you'll pastor everybody. What were they saying to me? They were saying Lubbock is a town where people quite often change churches at the first sign of disagreement. I have found that to be true. I think it is extremely unfortunate. It seems that we have the spiritual attitude that if they disagree with me on any point, I'll take my marbles and I'll go home. Now, the reason I want to say this right now is that I have no earthly idea which way this vote is going to go. And I want to talk to both sides. You felt like, hopefully after prayer, that God brought you to this fellowship for ministry and growth and worship and service. If one issue causes you to go to another church, you might as well go now, because I promise you there's something that all of us disagree about. Did you know that? If we look hard enough, we could find something immediately that all of us disagree about. We have voluntarily, as individual believers, joined ourselves together to fulfill the purpose of the church, which is winning as many people as we can in our lifetime to Jesus Christ and maturing them in all that we understand that Jesus has taught, that they can reproduce themselves. There is no need, no need at all, in you getting mad and going somewhere else. Let me tell you why. Both sides, let me tell you why. There is no place to go. You say, I'll go to the Baptist church. Why, they're as pits as we are. They got as many hang-ups and problems as we do. You'll be trading one set of problems for another. If you found a perfect church, you'd join it but mess it up. Do you know that? There ain't no perfect churches. Baptists aren't perfect any way in the world. But we creak along, we do the best we can in the love of Christ. I love you. I disagree with some of you. I could bite your ear sometimes. But I love you. I feel like God has called me here. Friends, I'm not going anyplace. I'm staying right here. Either way this vote goes, I'm going to be here with you. We're going to pull back together. I think it's been good. I think it's been educational. I think it's been helpful. You may disagree with that. You can bite my ear if you want to. We need to join hands, join hearts, see what the vote is, whichever way it goes, move on from there. You've got to work in the system. No system is perfect, but you've got to work in the system. You've been here a pretty good while, most of you. Know a lot of folks, have a place of ministry. Don't go rabbiting on me. You'll get just as mad over there in a couple of years. Pray about it. Jesus Christ will work it out. We have far more in common, far more in common than we have in differences. Do you know that?